How does it feel to be back, and what did you guys do during that period while you were broken up?
Well, first of all, being back, it feels great to be playing all these Morbid Saint songs again so many years later, and still having a great interest from fans, as well as old and new and everything in between. It's been building a lot in the underground, and it feels great to be back to do it, and that people are still out there wanting us to do it, And what we've been doing since we broke up, I lived out of state for a while, and Jay, what were you doing since we broke up?
Procreation, fornication, and intoxication. That means kids, schooling, and drinking. Pretty much we're just kind of, our separate ways, kind of went on with life, and all this went for careers, and some of us just kind of went for families and stuff, and just got away from it for a while.
Were you surprised at the fan reaction and the demand?
Yeah, extremely. Well, I had a good feeling about it because of, so many things that have been written to us over the years when we weren't active, asking us to get back together and get you to a reunion show or come play in our town or this or that. So I had a pretty good feeling that we'd have a good reaction when we did come back, and the band certainly hasn't disappointed. It's been more than we could have ever asked for.
What prompted the comeback?
Well, again, it was just the overwhelming interest still in Morbid Saint.
The relapse deal.
The relapse deal. We had some offers from the record label to release it again, and we had the opportunity, as far as time constraints and stuff, where we actually could get the band back together and give it our full attention and effort.
Okay. You want to tell me a little bit about the Thrashaholic box set?
Well, the Thrashaholic box set is a bulk release 3D set that has all of Spectrum of Death, it has all of Destruction System, has a live DVD of when we played a show in Racine at Memorial Hall with Wrath. That was a really kind of a cool big show for us. The box set. And the box set also has four new songs that were never released. And Jay really took the head on that with, redoing it however he redid it. Maybe he can add a little more to, what he did with mixing it down or original tracks or what he had to work with. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of the releases of Spectral Death really didn't sound too good. Digitizing that had been done when we released it was, pretty bad. And a lot of the copies that were re-releases were done after that. So we put what we had as the best copy and tried to remaster it, get it to sound as good as we possibly could. So we feel we got the best sounding copy of Spectrum of Death out there. So
have you guys been working on any new material?
Yes, we're working on new material right now. We have two songs that we're finishing up on, and the writing process is still continuing. Every practice, every time we get together, try to work on new stuff. And really, as far as, I think one of the questions you had too is how have things changed with the writing?
Mm-hmm.
And really, the standard format we always used was guitar riffs, writing with the drummer, and then vocals are usually added later.
Okay.
I go through whatever vocals and stuff I have and see what kind of phrasing or what would really fit in and work well with the song and kind of work from there.
Now, when you guys are just going over it at a practice and there aren't any vocals yet, do you kind of just belt out where you do kind of just improvise when they're doing it before there's anything written just to see where it would fit to just go?
Usually guitar players would come up with rhythms and kind of have a structured kind of few rhythms that go together and whatnot, and then the drumming would be added to that, and then we kind of figure out what's going to be the intros, the choruses, the bridges, this and that, and then kind of piece it together from the parts and structure the song that way.
Okay, I see. Now, for your live shows, you've got an interesting t-shirt that's on sale all the time, and it always looks like it's a hit with everybody. The design says, "I saw Morbid fucking Saint live" on the back of the shirt. Who came up with that idea?
I guess that would probably be me. We really don't mind fucking on their back anyway. The idea with that shirt was to have a shirt that would be exclusively sold at live shows. So anybody who has that shirt, or that you see wearing that shirt, you can pretty much guarantee that they were at one of our shows.
Okay.
So that gives a couple talk about to those people. It's not a shirt that you can buy off the website or any merchandise page.
Oh, wow.
It's a shirt that you can buy at a live show. So that's why it's strictly a live show that or a live shirt that we sell at our shows. So we thought it was kind of cool that could set people apart and say, "Yeah, I was there." You know,
that is really cool.
You could find somebody else with that shirt on, and you could go over and talk to them about what show they saw or this or that. Or so that was kind of the idea, I guess.
That's pretty awesome, Jay. For the new Lich King CD, you played a guest solo on the song "Born of the Bomb," and Pat, you did some additional vocals for it. How did that whole thing come together?
I believe they contacted Jay. I've been kind of friends with Tom Martin, their singer, for quite a while.
Okay.
And actually, when the Relapse deal first started coming around, he actually redid the Morbid Saint logo, kind of cleaned it up and modernized it a little bit for us. Jim Forgotten, the other guitar player, had been kind of talking with Tom Martin on some forums, and that's kind of how they started meeting. And then Tom got a hold of us through our Facebook page, and we just started talking. We actually played a show with them down in Chicago last July, so
that's right.
You know, it was kind of cool finally to get to meet those guys. But they had called me to see if I wanted to do a guest solo on one of their songs for their next CD that they put out. And the original guest singer that they had kind of backed out on it, and then they decided to ask Pat to see if he wanted to do some singing on there too.
I see. Have you heard the finished track?
Yeah.
What do you think of it as a whole?
The whole Lich King Born of the Bomb CD, you know, I've listened to it all, and you know, not only great guys, but they got you know, a lot of talent, and you know, hopefully we get to jam with them again. They are some of the best guys that we played with, the nicest guys. Yeah.
What were your thoughts of playing Maryland Death Fest earlier this year? How'd you get on it, and just how did it turn out?
It was hot. Yeah, it was a hot day, but it was absolutely, you know, a great show for us. We went over really well. All of the reviews seemed really great, and to get on in front of a bigger crowd again, it was really exciting for us to be given that opportunity. And I believe they just got a hold of us through our contacts.
Okay.
And that part of all things, because we went down and we played a show in Mexico, too, and we don't really have representation or booking agents or managers and stuff, so a lot of these people just contact us, and we work with them directly as just members of the band, directly with them.
Cool. Now, Morbid Saint's more successful than it was back in the day. How do you feel about that?
Well, more successful is kind of a slippery slope. We're not any more successful than money-wise than we were back then. And even back in the days, playing, you know, playing the Metal Fest 3 with Nuclear Assault and Death, and then playing, you know, that Death Angel show, or Dark Angel, which was the Metal Massacre.
What was that? Combat Ultimate
Tour. Ultimate Combat Tour, and, you know, even that the show that's on the DVD player at in Racine, you know, those are big crowds, you know, hundreds of people too. So we played big shows before, so it's nice to get back in that realm where you're getting, you know, a lot of interest and bigger crowds to come see you. So, it's great that we're still able to get on some of these. We got invited to go to Europe. We're going to be going to Europe for about a 10-day stint of eight shows in Europe.
That's awesome.
Around that Keep It True Festival next year. So, things are looking good for us. And I guess more people probably know the name Morbid Saint now than they did back then, just basically because of social media and because it's been out there for so long. But, yeah, we feel very blessed with not only the success we had back then, but, you know, success we're having now as we're back together.
Mm-hmm. Now, you guys opened for Death a lot. What was it like, and what was Chuck like?
We actually only played with Death, I believe, two or three times. And I know it says that on a lot of different things. I'm not sure how that always worked, where we knew Chuck because Eric Reif was working with Death, of course, as their manager or whatever, as well as, you know, doing what he could for us. So he got us on some shows with Death. We met him just a few times. I actually never really talked to Chuck personally. I know Jay and Jim, the other guitar players, had some conversations with him. But they were all very accommodating to a young Morbid Saint band, you know, just coming in, opening up for them and Dark Angel, and treated us really nice.
Yeah, Chuck was really cool. He was really down to earth. You know, he wasn't like a big egomaniac. So, I mean, it was pretty cool talking to him on the phone about stuff.
That is cool. What was it like to see Dark Angel?
It was pretty cool seeing them play. I mean, they were one of the bands that we listened to a lot before we played with them. We kind of actually got in a little trouble with them because we inadvertently mistook their beer for our beer when we played with them, and they weren't really too happy about that, and they let us know that. but, you know, it was all good. We all had a good time.
Well, that's good. Now, what was Eric Grafe like, and how did you get him for Spectrum of Death?
Well, it's kind of an interesting story, and I think how it was is after the original singer, Mike Joppa, when Morbid Saint played as a four-piece, he got a new singer and bass player from Milwaukee, and I believe it was either Tony or... Pete knew, I think, Bobby Starr. He knew Bob Singer, which was a singer that they got to replace Mike Joppa. They got a singer and a bass player from Milwaukee. And one of those guys, Bob, knew Pete Lupini, who actually saw us and was good friends with Eric. And he was so impressed with us, he told Eric he better get on this Morbid Saint band, because it's a really cool band. He had a lot of stuff going on, Eric did at the time, but when he came and saw us, he saw the potential and really helped us out to the best of his ability at that time when he had a lot of other stuff going on.
Well, that's awesome. What were the experience like behind Spectrum of Death and Destruction System?
Well, Spectrum of Death, it was the first time I, and I think most of us, were in a legitimate full-fledged studio. Sound rooms and, you know, control rooms and a lot of different, you know, things at our disposal in this, you know, what at the time was a pretty high-tech studio.
And we had five days at 8 hours a night, so we recorded Spectrum of Death start to finish in 40 hours.
Wow.
Yeah, over the course of 2 weekends, I believe, yeah.
That's pretty
good. And Eric was there producing for us, and we had... some good engineers, Alan Pangelini, and the assistant producers, White. But they were all, you know, very accommodating to, some new studio experience bands that came in there that just wanted to, we basically recorded it all live in the studio, except for the scene, in different rooms. Everybody just put on their headsets and everybody just kind of jammed live.
Yeah, we actually did the guitars and the drums. We recorded them, the rhythm parts for them live, and we did all the songs except for two of them on the first take. So the other two songs we did on the second take.
Wow.
We really didn't have a whole lot of time spending doing the actual guitar and drum tracks.
Mm-hmm. And Destruction System?
Well, Destruction System, we went back to the same studio, but they switched over to a digital format from their analog, and it was called Wave Digital.
Mm-hmm.
And it was originally called Opus that we recorded at. So we went back to the same place. It was under a different name, and they had a lot different, engineering stuff there. And as we went through, it seemed to be going all right, but we kind of
kind of went over budget, I think, and kind of ran out of money. Mm-hmm. And as far as anything I would have done different on Spectrum of Death, I probably wouldn't have pulled away the little spit monitor thing for over the mic and ruined a $3,000 mic by moving to spit speed because I didn't think it's still that Michelle be powerful enough. So I'd probably do that a little different.
Mm-hmm. Now, is Destruction System ever going to be officially finished, or are you guys kind of burying the hatchet with that one and just moving on?
We're basically burying the hatchet on that. We remastered it to, I think, the best ability that we can. The original tapes and tracking and original studio stuff is all gone, so there's really...
Okay.
I have no... None of us know where it is, so unless we just sat down and really took the time to re-record the whole thing, there's no way to really officially release it, and really we're more concerned with what we have going on right now and writing brand new material instead of trying to re-release Destruction System again for, you know, a third time.
I see.
I think the fans deserve some new Morbid Saints, so to keep recording all these old ones is probably going to get tiring for them as well as us.
Mm-hmm. How much different are your lives now from then?
Well, I take a lot more pain medication. you get older, you get wiser, you kind of understand more of what to expect, you know, from, because we were so young back then, I was just out of high school and stuff, so dealing with producers, record companies, you know, promoters, we never really knew what we were doing, so now we have a little bit better grasp of what to expect, you know, from what the industry is, you know, how the industry works and how we kind of fit into the grand scheme of things.
Mm-hmm. And what can you say about the evolution of heavy metal from how it was then and how it is now?
Well, you still, right now, you're still seeing, like, a lot of old-school thrash bands trying to come out with that kind of 80s sound, in mind for how they want to write. Some bands are, you know, take it to a whole new level, so, I mean, music evolves so quickly, and from when Spectrum of Death was wrote till now, I mean, there's been so many different things, like grunge took over and kind of took down metal for a while, and then metal started coming back, and then there's, you know, all the different subgenres now, and it's really just all very confusing to me, all these subgenres and stuff. Basically, what we always did is just play, because we all like extreme music in this band, and we just wrote the heaviest, deepest shit that we felt that, you know, that we liked first of all, and then hoped everybody else liked it too.
What's your favorite live song?
One of my favorite live songs probably is Assassin and Beyond the Gates of Hell. Beyond the Gates of Hell, because I can run around a lot and I got a lot of leeway in that song. A lot of downtime of singing.
Right.
But, and Assassin, just because, just to see a whole crowd stay that involved with a thrash song for over 7 minutes is kind of a nice thing to see. So it's all good. I love playing all the songs live. Really, it's not really a lot of favorites, but those are just kind of my favorite songs in general. So as well as my favorite live songs.
And you, Jay?
I pretty much like playing all of them. After all this time of not playing them, to be able to do this stuff and play this stuff live now is pretty incredible. But I would have to say, I like Assassin too because it's got a lot of parts, long songs to play, and I really like playing Death Before Dawn. That's one of the newer songs. It's just got a lot of fun parts in it from a guitar point.
What's your favorite place to play, guys, so far?
Practice. Maryland Death Fest. Yeah, Maryland Death Fest was probably the coolest show we played. Mm-hmm. Besides back in the day when we got to play that Metal Fest 3 when I was like 20 years old, that was a pretty overwhelming experience too, and one of my fondest memories of playing even back then. I just said practice because we all seem to have a lot of fun at practice. We really seem to enjoy ourselves quite a bit. It's always a good time here.
Things get a little laid back on the front. Friday practices. We can play people up. We got kind of a bigger jamming area now. So we got some seating up here. So we always like spreading the wealth. So we'll invite just everyday people up who, you know, are local and want to see what's going on or hang out. And just invite them on up to have a couple of cold ones and sit in on a practice.
We're actually in an old factory where there's a level that's just dedicated for bands, and there's actually about probably about 12 to 15 other bands up here besides us, so there's always something going on up here.
That's awesome.
It's a pretty good time.
That's awesome. If the place looks a little disheveled, you could probably shoot a cool music video there.
Oh, yeah. It'd be interesting, to say the least. if you're ever in the area, definitely stop by.
I would love to. And what place would you guys like to play the most?
I would say Wacky Open Air. Are
you on Bloodstock?
Bloodstock,
yeah. Wacky Open Air. Some of the big festivals in Europe would be pretty amazing.
I think you could probably pull Bloodstock next year if it goes well and keep it true.
Yeah, we're certainly hoping so. We're hoping that this little European tour that we're going to do really opens up a lot of opportunities for us overseas.
Do you know any of the other bands that you're going to be playing with overseas?
The other bands? No, just really the ones on Keep It True, I think, are the only ones we really know.
Okay.
Nothing's really set yet as far as specifics for the shows. We're just trying to work through the details right now.
We're really just trying to get down the schedules of how we're going to make it around, try to make it the most convenient to get from country to country.
Right.
Around there.
Okay.
Just tentatively, it's looking like about 11 days over there with 8 or 9 shows. So it's really something that we haven't done before, so we're going to have to, instead of working on our 12-ounce arm curls, we're going to have to work on a little better conditioning, probably. At least I will.
Okay, and my last question for you guys is, what's your superpowers?
Superpowers?
Yep.
Well, besides the ones I already possess, I'd like to go with the guy in the jumper movie. I just like to be able to jump to any place at any given moment and any time. And I think that'd work all right for me.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll like the ability to put him in the locker room.
And Jay?
What kind of superpower do you like, Jay?
I like the invisibility thing.
Our bass player Bob just walked in. Bob, you got a superpower you got in mind?
Yeah, of course,
we could have gotten Bob's x-ray vision.
Yeah. It's all about the women's locker rooms.
You're invisible, you don't really need the x-ray vision.
Nope. He just opens the door for you.